are just talking about God is love. With whom should we love? Whom should we love? God is love. Our soul and also love in its nature. You see, that love is innate in ourselves, and it is natural that love wants somebody to be loved by somebody and to love somebody. Every man wants, I should love somebody, I must have somebody to love, and somebody should be there who should love me. It is nothing but natural. Now the question is, whom should you love? Our soul is a conscious entity. Love is innate in its nature. It requires something with whom we should love. A conscious entity should love with all conscious God, naturally. Our love has been just something which is not conscious, less conscious. Our material world, outward is engagement of outward attachment. The result is we go where we love. So man's body is the highest splendid creation, in the highest thing that we can achieve here in this man body is to go back to the house of our father. The true home of our self, which is conscious, is the true home of our father, which is our conscious. So we should love God, who is immune from coming and going, you see, his ever existence, in all eternity. So all this world came into being by his wish, in all his expressions. The part of whom we have not seen, how can he love it? Oh, we should love God, but to love God we must be able to see him. We must be able to come in contact with him, enjoy his society, his company. For that purpose, God resides in every heart, but blessed is the heart in which he manifests. The manifested God in man is to be loved. So that the God in him may by radiation boost up our love which is in us already and give us something permanent which is never to decay. And that is God in us already, lifting the controlling power which keeps us in the body. So to love God, the first step is to love such human soul in which he manifests, the God in man, or man in God. You know, he speaks as inspired by God. Although the words appear to be coming through the throat of a human soul, but it is not he speaking, but the God in him is speaking. Guru Nanak said one place, I talk what God speaks to me. I am mere a puppet, mere the mouthpiece of God. So whom should we love? We should love God, so that we should have our eternal life, never to return to the world. We may be sent as a teachers to the world, but not as convicts. So just to have contact with God, we should have society with such people, such like persons in whom God is manifest, and who is competent to open our inner eyes to see God. What God? Not absolute, but God into a special, which is the cause of all creation, which is imminent in every form, which is pervading all, animate and inanimate. So love in him will afford us eternal life. But how to have contact with that God, the God which is manifested in human body? So as a matter of reverence, Master Samsara speak of, if God is standing there in a human form and God is manifest, both are standing before us. One side God is standing, the other side the human form in which God is manifest. Who should pay reference? Naturally, the human form at which God is manifest. Because if he does not meet us, how can we have love for God? Unless we see him. The manifesting God in man gives us an experience of the God in us. So as a matter of reverence, we say, alright, we should bow down to the God in man rather than God in him. Because the latter can only be contacted through the love of God which is manifested and ordered. That is why they say, I will bow down to the human pole in which it manifests. And then pay obeisance to the God. So this is as a matter of reverence. God, when can be the greater God? Mind that. But for the God in him, we pay respect to him because for him only we have been able to see, have some complete glimpse of God. So, should serve first God and then the God in man. Both are good things which are lead us to the way back to God, to eternal life. Why God? Because by coming in contact with God only we can be emancipated from the wheel of transmigration. And to the God in man, because he gives us a contact with the God in us. You see? So both things are inseparable. Without the one, you cannot do the other. So the love of God is the love of God in man, and the love of God in man is the love of God. So Maulana Rumi says, if you come nearby such a human form in God is manifest, you are nearer to God. You are sitting by him. You want to sit in the presence of God, then sit in the presence of some human pole at which he is manifest. For example, there is a powerhouse. One switch is in tune, contacted with the powerhouse. If you sit by the switch, which is such like, you see, it is just sitting quite close to the powerhouse. These are some things you need to explain, certain things. This electricity is pervading all through place, all through. But that does not do us any good, unless that electricity is just collected together in some powerhouse, and that any switch which is connected with the powerhouse, it does wonders of works for us. So both things are necessary. Love of God, because that's the ultimate goal that will bring us to the home, give us eternal life, and the human pole in which it manifests. Because the God in him only can give us a contact with God. So both things are necessary. So, whom you go, you have got love, you see. The outward experience what we can have of the love of God is the constant remembrance, sweet remembrance of God. Which you can never forget. Whom you love, you are always remembering in your heart of heart. You are attracted like anything. How that love developed wherein the child is born. Mother has been loving us, the child. Naturally, he has got affinity of the heart with the mother. For little things, he never forgets. For little, everything, he always remembers mother. But go to her last. Whether he dies or any trouble or so, he will always just go to the lap of the mother. So constant contact with the mother has created love in the child too. It is first he who loves us, not I. So it is the Godman who loves us, and our love is only reciprocal. Whom you love, That where will you go? Where he? If he is not in the top migratory, he has got the eternal home, you will also go to his home, never to return. Now, whom you remember in the heart of hearts, that reaction there, whom you love, in him. So God says in the Quran, Holy Scripture of the Mohammedans, God says, I love those who love me. I remember those who remember me. If we love God, naturally the reaction is in us. But whom have we really remembered? You see, love him, whom we have got contact with him. In that context, we can have it. It's already in us, controlling power in us, keeping us in the body. So man body is this temple of God in which God resides and we also resides. So constant remembrance, sweet remembrance is bliss giving, you see. Especially in cases when man has a contact with that thing. Whether you have seen him and enjoyed his love, that love becomes embedded in your heart. You see. Moses once, he was very, he said he was the best lover of God in the world. So he requested God to let him know anybody else who loved him. So they say that God sent him to a bird sitting on a tree. He went to him. To talk to him, well, are you going on all right? Yes. Is there any difficulty with you? Experience that there is one difficulty. I was very much in trouble. And what is that? He says, there's a spring of water flowing under the tree. The time that takes me from flying from the true tree to go down to that pool of water, that time is very, gives me very much trouble because I forgot the name of it. For the time that I'm sipping that water, you see. So the, what you say, the Moses was ashamed to see that even a bird has got more love of God rather than me. So this is something to show whether you have love for God. God ordered Abram to sacrifice what is most dear to him. And he first sacrificed a lamb, then a camel. Then he took his son to be sacrificed in the name of God. God stopped. They turned into him. Anyhow, God wants, love demands every sacrifice from us. Mind that. Who is the lover of God who can sacrifice everything for the name of God? Can we judge we have got love for God? But trifling things you say, oh, we have no time to remember God, you know. The love needs sacrifice of everything, even of your life. What to speak of out of it? So love is God and God is love, you see. Who should we love? We should love God. We are conscious entities, we should love God because He is all consciousness. We are drop of the ocean of all consciousness. And next to Him, who should we love? Where God is manifest. It is not for the human soul we love Him, but for the God manifested in the human soul. Of course, that is blessed in which is manifest. Why? For several two things are very essential. One, the love of God, the other, love of the human soul at which He is manifest. The God in man and man in God. For the latter, because it gives the contact with God within us, and for the former, because by coming in contact, we reach our true home, never to return. So we have love for the God in man, where we will go, where He will go. He comes from the house of our father, it is God who sends him to the world. If you love him, God loves him. By Christ said, yes, those who love me, he is loved by my father. And when he is loved by my father, I manifest myself into him. So these are the words received specially by all masters who came to the path. So for service there are two things most essential. One, love of God. We are loved innate in our soul. It has to be attached to somebody. Unfortunately, it has been attached to the world outside, material world. So we are coming again and again and again to the world because we have love it has to go. If we give us love in us for God, which is the very controlling power within us, then naturally we will go to his home, to the home of our Father. But to go there, the intermediary way is God in man. We love God in man, that is that the love of God that creates God's love in us for God. So that is why you see people say that the love of God man is the love of God. For the latter, first step is necessary. Because he opens our inner eyes to see the God in his special power. So the question was, for that we have to sacrifice everything, you see. Now we can judge it, where we stand. The highest aim, as I told you, in man's body is to know God, to reach God, to go back to our Father's home. We'll go where we are attached, whose love we have dwelt in us. We have been coming again and again to the world. Why? Because we are attached to the world. Oh, in man's body you got fortunate. We have this man's body, the highest rung in creation. If we dwell love in us for God, through the grace of the God in man, then we will go where? To our home, to the home of our Father. For this purpose we have to dwell love for the God in man. Teacher of a man is a man, like us. He starts from our level and dwells love in us, gives a contact within us, opens the inner eye to see the love of God, to see the light of God and the music of all spheres. So we have come to know, remain in any religion you like, you see. The main purpose is to go back to our home, to the home of our Father. And also, while on earth we should have what? Peaceful life. We can only have peaceful life if we dwell love for all. For all, why? For the God in them. Why we are all brothers and sisters in God. We are conscious entities, drops of the ocean of all consciousness. So by loving, by love, you see, if it is directed to right source, will give us peace here and hereafter God. May thy kingdom come on earth. This is what it means. So whom should we love? God. How can we love God? For the God is man, who will take contact with that? The love of God, man, is the love of God. Where will he go? He is overflowing with the love and intoxication of God. He is not bound to the earth. He is sent here to guide the child of humanity and go back to his home. If we love him, where will he go? Where he goes? If he is not to return to the world, why should we return? How can we return? You follow me? These two things are very essential. So this is among the six, you see. There is a prayer always. Oh God, grant us love, the company of those who are mouthpiece of the God in man, or who are the God in man. The peaceful mouthpiece of the God, of the one who is God in man, who is manifest, the God in man is manifested in him, and the God in man and God. Such a society in which I should, my love always is directed to you. Such like society we need. You see, it is the very highest, I think, prayer we can have. Oh God, let us meet those people in which you are manifest, who are overflowing with the love of you. You see? Such like society of God without us. For such like people, you see, how long till the end of the world? Any lover wants to die in the lap of his beloved. Is it not? All through life. Even up to the last breath we have to take. Why? Such like people, you see, love of them will lead us to love of God. It is really love of God, you see. Loving a God man is the love for the God in him, naturally it is love of God. Such like people where they laid their feet, those became places of pilgrimages. Christ was born in Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands of them were born there. Not for that reason, because so many thousands were born there, but for Christ he was born there. And that place was sanctified by the birth of a man. Makkah, Medina, there is a sanctified by the Prophet Muhammad. So that is a place of pilgrimage for all Muhammad in the world. Jerusalem is a place of pilgrimage for all the Christians in the world. In all other places you will find the why the places have become the places of pilgrimage is because some saint, some God in man, resided there, lived there. For that in those places have become respected. You see? And further, why? Because they can, our soul which is just identified with the body in outward attachments, he is competent to withdraw our soul from us, attention from outside, raise up, drag up from the level of the outward faculties, and open the inner eye to see the light of God. When you become the conscious co-worker of the divine plan, who is there to bring you back to the world? So this is for that reason, you see. You may have been, you see, away from God for thousands of years back. But once you meet a God in man, he gives you contact with God. If you dwell that, then naturally your coming and going is ended. You go back to your home, you see. So love of God leads the implicit obedience to him. To love the world subject of God in man is the true love of the God in man. Not mere outward obedience, but the respect of the words to the words he expected to live up to them. We should, that God in man is already resides in the world personified within us by giving the content of the world within us. So when he is there, resides himself there with you, and you don't transcend any limitations, any things what he says, you should abide by and not transcend them. If such a man is there, then we need not fear all the world or anybody. He is beloved of God. Who is loved by the Master, is loved by the Father, God in him. And though whom the God loves, then Christ says, I will manifest myself. God appears in the form of God in man. It is the grace of God which affords us that privilege, you see. And once he is manifest in us, he talks to us just as that. We talk outside. He is our counselor, unpaid, in all our affairs, outward and inner, both. So we have to, this today's talk was about whom should we love and why. Should love God for the sake of the love of God, that is who. In whom God is manifested, he can teach us, he can give us a contact with God. So love God first, then love the God in man next, and no other. For all others we should have love, because all souls are the conscious entities of the ocean of all consciousness, and all bodies are controlled by God, that controlling power. So naturally he loves God, he loves all creation, whether animate or inanimate. which we are present, you see, in the bad body only, with the opportunity of body. And for that purpose we go to the feet of some God in us. And that also, who did such a grace of God? Not it. No son of man can do it, you see. It's all grace of God, and that grace descends. He is brought in contact with somebody at whom he will pour his blessing. Blessed are they who have such a body, such a society, such a company. That is sign of that foreshadow that they are going back to their home, to home. So, aap samjhe bhai, kisse pyar karna chahiye? Badi moti baat, Parmatma. Jo janam mar se rehta hai. Uske baad, aisi asti jiske se woh pragat. For the God in him. Uska pyar dono hi chahiye. पहले के लिए प्यार इसलिए चाहिए कि वो तक प्रभु प्रकट और हमें प्रकट कर सकता, पूजी दे सकता, और दूसरे के लिए इसलिए तो उसके मिलने से जन्म खत्म हो सकता है, हमेशा के लिए हम प्रभु के घर में जा सकते हैं। तो किसी समाज में रहो, समाजों में कोई फर्क नहीं, यही शादी में जो हर एक समाज में जिस बी वेरी टीचिंग इन ऑल रिलीजन ऑल मास्टर टू के पार्ट दिस सेव दिस कोर्स वी आर नॉट टू ओनली रीड आउट आर हेयर इट बट जस्ट द मोस्ट part of it, we just have in our own lives to live up to that level and be more nearer near to God, and more we derive the most benefit from the man body we have got here. So bhai, ye baatein jo aapko samjhai jaati hain, ye samajhne ke liye nahi, karne ke liye. Agar karo to mere 2 minute, 4 minute jeevan ban jaye. Sunte bahut hai, क्योंकि हमारा जीवन है नहीं, इसलिए सुनकर एक कान से सुना दूसरे से निकाल दिया, या एक कान से सुना के मुंह से निकाल लिया लोगों को सुनाने के लिए, और अपने जीवन में उसका कोई हिस्सा नहीं आया, तो क्या फायदा? ये बातें मैं ग्रंथों पोषी में बड़ी पड़ी है, फिर उसको थोड़ा सा डाइजेस्ट करके आपके सामने पेश किया जाता दो जी. सो ऑल दिस व्हाट इज गिवन टू यू इज ओनली what the masters have the right view of these things, you see. These are given in books. Some people hear from one ear and they go through the other ear. Others people hear and give it to the mouth to tell other people, you know so much. Both these things don't give you any real benefit, you see. Unless that very thing forms a part and parcel of your life. The food that is digested gives you thanks. Otherwise, that will result in diseases, you see, vanity and other things. So, bhai, ye baat aapne suni, usi jeevan mein roz din koi na koi aspect aapke samne aata, kabhi ek, kabhi dusra, kabhi teesra, kabhi chautha. Pata lage uske saath live karna shuru kar do, jim patak. Baki ye raha, bhai, bhajan ke liye, bhajan bahut zaruri hai. उस वजन को संभालने के लिए डायरी बेहद जरूरी है, वो जरूर रखो. सुबह जब आते हो पहले वजन बैठ जाओ, डायरी रखो, नहीं जिसका बनता वो अलहदा समझ कर बैठ जाएगा, ताकि जो फायदा ये सिर्फ इन्फॉर्मेशन है कि लिव अप करना ना, वजन भी मोट, जिसका वजन नहीं बना उसका कुछ नहीं बना. जिन्हें झगड़े रगड़े ना सिर्फ वजन के नाम ले, अंकार आ जाता, मैं बहुत कुछ जानता हूँ, मैं हाथू हरे को नेमत, काल का फायदा हरे को नेमत, बंद कहो काल कहो, हरे को अपने अपने जीव मेरे सरसरी से, तो मेरे सवा कुछ नहीं हो सकता, मैं ही सब कुछ हूँ. अरे मैं सारे मिलकर उसी एक की सेवा करती हूँ, राउल लेबरर्स विनयार्ड ऑफ गॉड परमात्मा की, खेती बहुत है, फसल बहुत है, लेबर गरीब मत समझो, जिनको ये सेवा मिल जाए उनको ज्यादा हम्बल होना चाहिए, निम्र होना चाहिए. वो भी यहाँ का हमारे स्वास्थ्य क्या करता है, उसी को जनर क्या, इसी को छोड़ने के लिए आए थे किसी महापुरुष के चरणों में, और वही बीमारी वहां और अकड़ कर होगी तो क्या है. तो महापुरुष हमारे जो सुनाया करते थे, बछड़ा दूर से आकर दूध पी जाता, और जब चिट्ठियों पास रहने वाला फूड पीटर गाय के छोड़ो पास चिट्ठियों फूड पीटर दूसरों के पीटर तो पास रहना बड़ी बरकत, इससे पूरा फायदा उठाओ। मगर उसमें अगर मैं बना आ गया तो गया मारेगा, आपस को कर कछु न जुटा बानी तो बड़ी साहब जो समझने लगे मेरे साथ नहीं हो सकता, अरे भाई किसको कुछ को फायदा नहीं मिल सकता समझे। तो भाई मानव जन से पूरा फायदा उठाओ, आपको सत्संग मिलता है इससे भी पूरा फायदा उठाओ। चलो आओ।
गुड मॉर्निंग एंड वेलकम टू द सत्संग फॉर मास्टर कृपाल सिंह। द रिकॉर्डिंग यू जस्ट हर्ड was a morning talk that Master gave on January 9th, 1968. It was named, Who Should We Love? Part 2. Our reader this morning is Claire Stannard. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Pradeep. I'm reading today the talk called Little, Little Things. This talk was given by Master on November 1st, 1972. Dear brothers and sisters, you are all fortunate because you have got the man body, the highest in all creation, which is next to God. The highest aim in the man body is to know self and to know God. The ultimate goal of all knowledge is the knowledge of the self. The Upanishads ask us, what is that by knowing which everything else is known? For that, God makes an arrangement to bring those who have got a real yearning to search for this ideal in contact somewhere where they can be put on the way back to God, which is within you. So body is the true temple of God, but we find the best thing is, if a man is put on the way, he should keep the commandments literally. But it is mind, you know, that defiles everything. Even if we are putting in time for meditation, we find difficulty so that we cannot go on with it. And there are some things that are impediments on the way, the spiritual way. That we know, everybody knows, but I am going to enumerate them as the subject of this talk. First of all, you see, we should stand on our own legs. Don't be dependent on anybody. One saint prays, O God, give me this, that I may stand on my own legs. If I have to be dependent on others, it is better that you take my soul from the body. To be dependent on others is a heinous crime. All evils creep in. So we must have honest earning. All masters have referred to it. Guru Nanak said, he who earns his money in the honest way and shares with others, such a man alone can know God. Whatever money we receive through dishonest means, naturally, we have got that dishonesty creeping up within ourselves. If money is earned by honest means, then you will find some rest, some peace. Further, whatever we eat and drink has its own effect. If a dog is kept on vegetable food, he is very amiable. If he is kept on meat, etc., he will be howling and growling. So it is a sattvic, i.e. strict vegetarian, diet that we have to take. And even if we take that kind of diet, we have to watch the hands through which the food passes, by whom it is cooked, and by whom it is served. That diet also carries the effect of those through whose hands the food has been prepared and served. All these things affect the man who eats it. If the food is earned by honest means, and those who prepare the food have been in the sweet remembrance of God with chaste thoughts, then you will find that when you eat, that will give you calmness within. And one more thing. If such food is prepared this way, that will have its effect. But if you eat too much, more than what is wanted, then what is the result? Diet which is digested will give you strength, and that which is not digested? So diet has a great effect, you see. Eat one morsel less than you need. There was an incident with the Prophet Muhammad, who had about 40 followers with him at one time, and somebody attached a doctor to him, so that if anybody went sick, he might be treated then and there. The doctor remained with the party for 6 months, but nobody got sick. He went to Prophet Muhammad and said, "Well, I have been here 6 months, nobody has been sick, so there is no need of my being here." The Prophet said, "Yes, so long as they do what I have ordered, have a good character, chaste thoughts, and hard work, and take one morsel less than they really need, there can be no sickness. You'd better go." So our earnings should be honest. That is the first step. It should not be blood squeezed from others. What is yours is yours. What is others is for the others. Don't usurp the rights of others. That is the first thing required. Otherwise, many evil thoughts will creep up in you. There was one Maharishi Shivrat Lal. One man came to him and said, "My head aches. I cannot sit in meditation for long." He said, "Look to your stomach." Then another man came the same day and said, "My mind wanders away." "Well, look to your stomach." Then another man said, "I cannot sit in meditation. My mind rebels." He said, "Look to your stomach." So this is the first elementary thing which stands as an impediment on the way you have been put on. Second thing, God has given rights, equal rights, to everybody. We are born the same way. Outer and inner construction is the same. And we are in soul bodies. Soul is of the same essence as that of God. And God also resides in everybody. We should have no hatred for anybody. One may be standing, waiting on the table. Another one is sitting in the chair. This is due to, as we have sown, so we have reaped. Higher position or lower position, richness or poorness, all these things depend on that. Sometimes the man thinks, "I am in power," or, "I am a very learned man." You hate others for these reasons. Because you are very rich, because you are very learned, because you are a man of position. Humility is the only remedy for that. We are all equal, you see. If you hate them, then how do you think the God within you will receive you? So we are all equal. We are all brothers and sisters in God. Generally we feel, "Oh, I know much better." These are the little things that affect the reservoir of our subconscious mind, and they react. The third thing is forgive and forget. I am giving you practical difficulties. If anybody has done anything wrong to you, you say, "All right, I forgive." But you have not forgiven at heart. You are on the watch. When can I retaliate? Forgive and forget. If you remember somebody who has done this wrong or that wrong, then naturally that element of your retribution won't go. If a child has done anything wrong, do you not forgive? And one thing you see, each man has to work at his own level. Suppose a man with a primary grades education is there, and a college man is there. Can you expect the primary man to talk up to the level of the college man? Make some allowance. Try to understand what he says. So as I told you, one thing is honest earning. And pure diet passed through, cooked by, served by people of good character, in sweet remembrance of God. In the old days, a mother would not let anyone enter the kitchen when she was preparing the food. Nobody entered there. I think I mentioned to you that when I was a military accounts officer attached to a regiment in the field, one orderly was given to me to cook my food. So I told him, well, look here, so long as you are in the kitchen, you should go on reciting some scripture or have the sweet remembrance of God. No other thought should enter your mind. He said, all right. Well, for 3 days he obeyed. On the fourth day, I was sitting in meditation at about 12 or 1 in the night. Something was wrong in my mind. I called that man at 1 at night. Well, come on, who was it in your kitchen today? He said, no, sir, nobody was there. Don't lie. Then he said, yes, there was. We were talking about such and such. Why don't we notice these things? Because we are already so filthy. If an ounce is added, we don't notice. But those who have got no filth, little things affect them. 1 gram affects them. So these are the first things you see. Just see how far we have gone. The second thing was, as I told you, on account of our being rich or learned or a man of position or a man of possessions, we hate others. We think they are not men of our own status, that they are not fit for our society. This hatred of the heart affects your mind. The third thing was, forgive and forget. After all, men are not of the same stature. Each man works according to his own level of thinking or development. Make him understand politely, but once it has been done, then forget. Forget all. If you don't forget, again and again, the thought goes on. He has done that. He has done that. That also poisons the mind and affects you. The fourth thing is chastity of thought, word, and deed. Even if any unchaste thoughts enter your mind, you think of them. Your whole body is poisoned from head down to foot. Others do not know. You know. Sometimes young people say, we do not do anything. We simply enjoy. They are talking of such like things, you see. Unchaste thoughts. But those very things affect you. As I explained to you the other day, every thought has its effect. As you sow, so it is sown. Whether it is done in a frivolous way for enjoyment's sake, it affects. So there is chastity of eyes. Don't look to others with lustful thoughts or any rancor rankling in your mind, or any enmity, or thinking that the other man, he is no good. And for the ears, don't hear anything evil about others, because a little thought comes to you, and that awakens doubt. And we begin to doubt that man about which we have heard. But he may be all right. So for that reason, don't believe anything anyone tells you. I have heard, or I have seen, unless you hear for your own self with your ears and see with your own eyes. Then comes chastity of tongue. Anything which is not of sattvic character, you will become fond of it. You will think it is very delicious. Then that will affect your stomach. So what is wanted is chastity of everything. Eyes, ears, tongue, skin also. In these little things we receive infection from others. That is the main thing. Chastity in itself is a blessing. As I told you, married life in accordance with the scriptures is no bar to spirituality. It is companionship, a sacrament, not a contract. God has given you a companion to help each other on the earthly sojourn, in weal or woe, and to help each other to know God. And then for begetting children whenever they are wanted. So a life of self-restraint is a blessing, you see. Those who keep it, they will feel blessings in their body. And that chastity has its own thought by radiation. I am telling you, each thought has its own color and its own fragrance. So beware. Thoughts are very potent. This is the fourth thing. Where there is chastity, all virtues will find an abode in you. Your mind will be at rest. Whenever you sit, you will progress wonderfully. And the fifth thing is, don't work as the unpaid apprentices of the CID of God. CID means Confidential Investigation Department. He is like that. You are always looking after that. God is there too. He will look after it. If you have got any friend who is clearly doing something wrong, you may tell him privately, politely, "This is no good. Don't spoil your life. I have love for you." But don't broadcast it like a plague rabbit, going around everywhere. Sometimes we say, "You know how wonderful I am?" If you want, let others say you are wonderful. These things are based on what is lying in the depths of your hearts. Out of the abundance of his heart, a man speaks. So for this reason, don't think evil of anybody, because as you think, so you become. If you are always thinking, he is bad, you will get infected with that. I read a book once when I was in school that said that some missionaries went to Japan and preached one commandment of Moses: don't strike your woman. The people were leading very innocent lives. They asked, "Is it in your country that they beat women?" The result was, after a year's preaching, they began to beat women. I have seen men, foremost preachers in society, who preach, don't drink, but privately they do drink. I have seen, I tell you. Don't drink, and all the time they are thinking of drinking, are they not? Maybe the word don't is there, but drinking is also there. Then you say, "All right, let's see what it's all about." So as you think, so you become. Further, we criticize others. We should criticize ourselves as we criticize others. Mind your own business. If you have a friend whom you love, tell him privately, "Please don't do it." What more can you do? Unless a man, in his heart of hearts, feels that he has done wrong, he won't follow you. Man will go by the dictates of his mind. If he is convinced that what he is doing is really wrong, then he will listen to you. Otherwise not. So, wanted reformers, not of others, but of themselves. Reform your own self. You will reform many men around you. People judge by what they see, not by the words you express or preach. So example is better than precept. You see, you have been given a diary for that. Criticize yourself as you would criticize others. Put down your failures and weed them out. Don't simply say, I am a sinner, I am a sinner. You will become a sinner, God knows. If you weed them out, then it is all right. And for that, you have to keep diaries. These are six things which stand in the way of our progress on the spiritual way. And there are some constructive points which help us on the way. Both things should be known. You know, mind defiles everything. A thought of lust defiles the whole body from head down to foot. A good thought, a thought of love, permeates your whole body. So don't let the mind be vacant. A vacant mind is the home of the devil. Keep it occupied, either in your work or in the sweet remembrance of God. There is one thing that helps us with this. Do one thing at a time, wholly and solely. There is a table there with so many drawers. Open one drawer and attend to it fully. Then close down that drawer. Then open the next drawer. Attend to it fully. Then open the third drawer. Then you won't have two or three things hovering over your mind. If you read the lives of great men, you will learn many things. Napoleon Bonaparte, for example. The night before the Battle of Waterloo at 1 a.m., he was writing the proceedings of a primary school. You see how self-composed he was? There is something in some men which makes them great, you see. At 8 o'clock in the morning of the Battle of Waterloo, he was strolling in the compound where he was living. A minister was there hovering around. What are you after? Sir, the battle is to be fought at 9. That is at 9 o'clock. It is 8 o'clock now. So, do one thing at a time. Completely, wholly, and solely. And you will find you will save many troubles. One man comes to you to talk. You attend only a little and leave him not fully attended. Another man comes. You attend him only a little. Then a third man, a fourth man, and you do the same. The result is that they are all hovering around you, you see. They won't leave unless you satisfy them. So whatever thought strikes you, attend to it fully. Decide one way or the other, finally. How many problems do you have daily? I don't think one or two. So many problems are heaped together. Sometimes you think of that, sometimes this. They are hovering around you. So this you can learn from Bonaparte's life, you see. Do one thing at a time. John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. You might have seen that book. His motto was, write something daily. And he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. There was another man, Stanley by name. His motto was, finish something daily. That I took to be my guide, you see. Finish something daily. Whatever you take, finish it. It may take 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Then you will go to bed quite buoyant and fresh, and awake the same way. Otherwise, the work which is left incomplete is hovering in your mind throughout the night. Then you worry, I must attend to this and that thing, you see? These are very little things that will help us. Keep your mind occupied always. When you are at work, be fully occupied in work. Work is worship. When you eat, be fully in your eating. because that is a gift from God. Thank God. If your attention is in eating, that eating will give you good results. Sometimes you have taken the morsel, but your thought is somewhere else. You don't know how much you have eaten, you see. So when you are at your practice, be fully at practice. These are the things that affect us. I am telling you what constructive things help us. Now, one thing more. Man is the highest in all creation. All creation has been made subservient to you. All are lower than you are. Animals, birds, reptiles. The laws of nature you are controlling. Man is next to God. So have reverence for all. God resides in everybody, whether high or low. Have reverence for all who are over you, above you, reverence for all who are around you, and reverence for all who are beneath you, under you. If you are the head of a department, love your subordinates. When I was in office, I was a superintendent. Superior officers are only pleased if you have turned out more work. It may be at the sacrifice of those working under you. They are after the subordinates. In my case, the subordinates were pleased, and the officers were also pleased. Why? I treated them alike, as brothers, reverence for them. And they turned out twice the amount of work which others did, and quietly and friendly. These are the practical things which help us. So you are the head of all creation, next to God. Great is man, and you must have reverence for all. All are our brothers, our younger brothers in the family of God, whether they are around you, above you, or below you. And one more thing. Be true to your own self. We deceive our own self first, then we deceive others, telling lies, usurping others' rights. Then we say something, but we mean something else. What your heart means, let your brain think and your mouth say. When these three agree, then that is true. So as I have told you, wanted, reformers, not of others, but of themselves. God is within you. The master power is within you. When Baba Jamo Singh initiated somebody, he used to say, "Look here, now I am residing within you. Take care, I am looking after you now." Do we think like that? If you think somebody is watching you, can you do anything wrong? No. So be true to your own self, then you will fear nothing in the world.
Thank you, Claire, for reading this for us. Claire was reading Master's talk titled Little Little Things, given on November 1, 1972 at Belmont Hotel in Chicago. This was originally published in Satsandesh of February 1973. There were 86 of us listening to today's satsang. Thank you everyone for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Thank you for your patient hearing. What I have come to know, I have to inform you. It is for you to perform consultation, how it appears to you.